page Tes Amid Beis, the Pshimin Emer.
Mishnah?
No, three lines into the wide lines. The Pshimin Emer. In the Mishnah, there's only like five lines which are not even hard. And then it goes really interesting, simple Gemara. Reb Shimon said in the Mishnah, so one opinion says an enemy doesn't go into Golos. Because if an enemy kills his enemy, we assume he did it on purpose. And Golos is only if he did it accidentally. So Reb Shimon said, sometimes an enemy goes to Golos, sometimes he doesn't go into Golos. And the Gemara is going to explain what does that mean.
I don't understand what you're saying about that way. What do you mean enemy goes to Golos?
If an enemy... If Reuven and Shimon hate each other,
mm-hmm.
and Reuven kills Shimon,
mm-hmm.
so one opinion says he doesn't go to Golos for killing accidental. Even though it looked accidental, but it wasn't. We assume it was intentional. And if he did it intentionally, you don't go to Ari Miklat.
Well, you have to go to the judge.
No, you don't go. It doesn't protect you, Ari Miklat. Mm-hmm. If the Goel Adam, their family wants to kill you, they can kill you. In your whole life, you're on the run.
They can come inside the Ari Miklat?
Not in Ari Miklat. But if this guy is not protected by Ari Miklat, it's not going to help him.
But if he goes there, they cannot come and kill him over
yes,
there.
Yes, they can. Unless if he killed completely accidentally. And by an enemy, we assume he did it on purpose. Let's see the Gemara. Okay. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Keitzet Amar Rav Shimon. How did Rav Shimon say, Yersena Goyla, V'yersena She'ena Goyla? Where does Rav Shimon find an example that sometimes an enemy goes to Golus and sometimes he doesn't? So the Gemara says as follows. Nivsak, if the string broke, now the case over here is a guy was getting water from a well, okay, and you're bringing water up or down, okay, and the rope broke and fell on the guy and killed him. That we assume is accidental. But Nishmat, if the rope fell out of his hand, slipped out of his hand, then ain't a goyle, he doesn't go into Golos. So the Shimon says very simple. Even by an enemy, the Shimon says it's not a clear-cut statement, he always killed the guy intentionally. For instance, if the rope broke, right, obviously it was a real accident. If the rope slipped out of his hands, we could say he did it on purpose. So the Shimon says, if the rope broke, he goes to Golos. If the rope slipped out of his hands, it's intentional, and therefore he doesn't go to Golos. So the Gemara asks, "Vatanya, but we learned in a brayse Rav Shimon Eimer. Rav Shimon says, Le'elam ein agoyla ad sheyishmit mechatli miyodei. Rav Shimon in a different place says,
Hello.
Good night. Rav Shimon says, you never go to Golos until the rope slipped out of your hand. Then Rav Shimon says here clearly, the only time you go to Golos if it slipped out of your hands. So the Gemara says, Kashin nifsik an nifsik, Kashin nishmat an nishmat. There's a complete problem over here. Because our Mishnah is interpreting it to mean that if the rope slipped out of your hands, you don't go to Golos. Over there, Rav Shimon said, if it slipped out of your hand, you do go to Golos. Our Mishnah says, if the rope broke, you go to Golos. Rav Shimon says, over there in the bright, you never go to Golos if it broke. So how do you reconcile these things? So the Gemara answers as follows. Nishmat an nifshit. One second. Yeah. Nifsik an nifsik like kasha. The Gemara says like this. If it broke, one case it says he's going to Golos, one case it says he don't go into Golos. So it says very simple. If it's a friend, okay, the Gemara says as follows. If it's a friend, so then the din is. Then you go into Golos. Habesainai, if the rope doesn't.
No, if it's
not. No, I'm sorry, I skipped a few lines.
Rabbi Shimon Omer.
No, 1 second.
Yes, Sone, Golos.
No, 1 second. Okay, Kajin Nifsik and Nifsik, Kajin Nishmat and Nifsik. So my answer is like this. Nifsik and Nifsik, which is a mistake over here in the Gemara, it's supposed to be the opposite way.
A nifsek.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be nishmat an nishmat leikasha habayev habesene. If it falls out of your hands, one place it says you go to Golos, one place not, is very simple. If it's a friend and it slipped out of your hands and killed him, you go to Golos. If it's an enemy and it slipped out of your hand, you don't go to Golos. Nifsek an nifsek leikasha har rabbi har rabban. And we learned before very interestingly. According to Rabbi, okay, if a rope broke, you don't go into Golus. Why? I didn't. There's a different version in the Gemara. Why? Because Rabbi holds that if the axe flew off the handle, not the wood. Normally the case in the Torah is you're chopping wood, and a splinter of wood flew and hit the guy and killed him. That's what the Torah says. What happens if you're chopping with an axe and the top of the axe flew off and killed somebody? So Rebbe says you don't go to Golus for that.
If that's a Chayav?
No, you don't go to Golus.
That means
no, because it's not even accidental.
Oh, so you're Patur?
Rabbanan would hold that if the axe flew off, you do go into Golus. Mm-hmm. So he says that's the same thing with the string. If the string broke, according to Rebbe, you don't go to Golus. According to the Chachamim, you will go to Golus. So the Gemara says it's not really a contradiction between one place and the next place. The meaning as follows. One place says if the rope slipped out of your hands, you go to Golus. That's speaking by your friend. Mm-hmm. If you killed your friend by mistake, then you know it's a mistake. If it's your enemy, you don't go to Golus because we said you did it on purpose. Then one place it says if the rope broke, you go to Golus, that's according to the Chachamim. The place it says the rope broke, you don't go to Golus, that's like Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who said that if the axe flies off the handle, you don't go into the Golus. And he learned it out from a Pasuk before in the Gemara and Dav Zayin. Rabbi said before in the Gemara, here, in the Mishnah said, Nishma Dabarza Mikiti Vaharag, Rabbi says, Ain't a Golus, you don't go into Golus. And the Gemara learns it out from a Pasuk that according to Rabbi, it's only if the wood flies out, but not if the handle flies out.
So what's the difference between the ladder? When the ladder falls out, same thing like the...
No, the guy falls down the ladder. So that's not the axe flying off.
That also...
No, it's a different story. Here, your mamish, your act is killing the guy. There's a big difference between the guy himself falling on top of somebody. Okay, let's go to the next Mishnah, which is very simple. The Mishnah says, Leichen Geulim, where do you go to Golus? Where is this concept of exile? So the Mishnah says, La'ari Miklat, you go to the city of refuge. How many cities of refuge and where were they and what are they? So the Mishnah says, L'sholosh be'iver ha'yardin. If you remember in Chumash, 2.5 tribes got on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Gad and Reuven and half of Menashe. 9.5 tribes lived in
Israel.
Primary area, mainland Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, on Eiver HaYardin were 3 cities of Miklat, and inside Eretz Yisrael were 3 cities of refuge. And the Gemara is going to ask a question. For 2.5 tribes, you have 3 cities of refuge. And for 9.5 tribes, you have 3 cities. It's not fair. And the Gemara is going to answer that this place had a lot of murderers. But we'll see that there are 3 in mainland Eretz Yisrael and 3 in Eiver HaYardin. And it says, Shenama, why do we know this? Because it says, Eshal Esharim Titnu Me'Eiver HaYardin. Hashem says in Chumash to Meshe Rabbeinu, 3 cities of refuge you should put on this side of the Yardin. Ve'Eshal Esharim and the 3 other cities, Titnu Be'Eretz Canaan, you should give in the land of Canaan. So the Mishnah says a statement. Number 1, city of refuge, there are 6. 3 and 3. And then the Mishnah continues, actually, Nivchru Sholosh Eretz Yisrael, as long as the 3 cities of mainland Eretz Yisrael weren't picked, Lehoyu Sholosh Eretz Yarden Kultus, the cities on this side of the Yarden didn't provide refuge. Shenema, I'll explain in a second. Shenema, because it says, Sheish Ore Miklat Tihiyenu. You should have 6 cities of refuge. Meaning, until you have all 6, Kotas Kachas working together. Meaning as follows. The Gemara is going to explain as follows. The Jews are coming in the Midbar. Here's Eretz Yisrael. Here's the Jordan River. Correct? Meshe Ben is bringing the Jews from Eretz Yisrael, from Egypt through the desert. Yeah, here's where they camped. Here's where Moshe Rabbeinu dies. Okay, after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Yehoshua took the Jews across the Jordan River. The Yarden split like the Yam Suf, and he took the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. Now Moshe Rabbeinu in his lifetime was here, so he separated three cities of refuge. Mm-hmm. When the Jews moved into Israel, Yehoshua set up another three. So the Mishnah is saying, until Yehoshua made those three, these three didn't work either, because the Torah says there has to be six. Meaning, when do they become Ari Miklat, that they protect an accidental murderer, when you have all six cities in place? So in fact, the Gemara is going to ask soon, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu bother setting up these three cities if they didn't work anyway? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, whatever I could do, let me do. At least I'll designate the cities. Okay? So the Mishnah is saying so far a few statements. If somebody kills somebody accidentally, they ran to Golos. What is Golos? Ari Miklat. How many Ari Miklat? Six. Three on this side of the Yarden, three on this side of the Yarden. But they didn't function until all six were made. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Mechuvanes lehem drachem izu lezu. They had direct roads laid out from city to city. Meaning, as Rashi explains, and the Gemara explains, the community, Beis Din, had an obligation to make sure the roads were good. Why? It's a very simple thing. Somebody kills somebody accidentally. He has to run for his life, because their family can kill him. Right? So Beis Din, the Torah says, you have to make it the best way for the guy to get there. You have to make it the best way the guy should get there. You have to make sure the roads are, you know, maintained well.
Arrows,
directions, everything that had to be. And the roads, in fact, an interesting thing. The roads had to be 32 amos wide. That's like 64 feet wide.
Oh my God. Begin at hand.
Or 50, if 32 amos, if you count an amma, a foot and a half even, is 48 feet wide. In other words, there had to be wide roads, well maintained, well kept, and not only that, the Mishnah says, v'shilashta, and it goes even more. They made the cities equal distance from each other. That means, as Gemara is going to explain very simply, they took Eretz Yisrael. Don't forget, three were on Eiver HaYarden, Ari Miklat, and three Ari Miklat were in Eretz Yisrael itself. So if this was Eretz Yisrael, let's say, they divided the land into four parts. Okay, one, two, three, four. Okay? Now if you have four divisions, you have three Ari Miklat, one here, and one here. They had to be made equally divisible by three. Why? That wherever a guy is, he should be able to run to the closest place possible. So the Torah said, Vishilashta means you actually have to put the three Ari Miklat evenly spaced. So let's say, for argument's sake, it was 400 parsa. It was, Takai, so it was 400 parsa by 400 parsa. So they made by 100 parsa Ari Miklat, by the next 100 parsa Ari Miklat, by the third 100 parsa Ari Miklat. So it's exactly 100 parsa from each one to the next, and that the guy should know exactly what.
Before, when he's running to the Ari Miklat, the family can still come and kill him?
Yeah.
Up to the door?
Only until he gets inside the Ari Miklat.
Up to the gate they can kill him?
Up to the gate they can kill him. And the Gemara is going to say, we're going to learn later, it's very interesting, there were really more than six Ari Miklat. There were 42 cities that the Levium owned, that the Levium were given, were also Ari Miklat. So the Mishnah later is going to say, what's the difference between the six Ari Miklat and the 48 Ari Miklat, 42? He says, Ari Miklat worked even if the guy didn't know he was in there. The Rishonim say a crazy case. What happens if a guy was sleeping in a wagon and he went into an Ari Miklat sleeping? The killer that killed somebody b'shoigig accidentally was running away in a wagon and he fell asleep in the wagon, and the wagon went into Ari Miklat and he's still sleeping and he doesn't even know he's there. So the din is, in the 6th Ari Miklat, you can't kill him. But in 42 cities of the Levium, can only protect him if he knew he was in the city. But if he went in sleeping, and he didn't know he was in the city, the girl Adam can kill him, even in the city of the Ari Miklat, the 42 cities of the Levium. What?
The reason they made 42 cities, was that for less bloodshed? I mean, basically, here.
The Levium didn't have land in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, no, I'm... okay.
These were cities given to the Levium. Uh-huh. We learn now from a pasuk, they were primarily given to the Levium. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to live... Not you. If a guy who killed somebody accidentally wanted to live there, had to pay rent. Uh-huh. It was cities of the Levium. In addition to the fact that the Levium lived there, the Torah says, they also work as Ari Miklat. Uh-huh. But they're not like the 6 Ari Miklat. In other words, the Gemara is going to say there were a number of differences between the 6 and the 42. One of the differences is, as I mentioned, that this only works if you're aware that you're in the city. Mm-hmm. And the Ari Miklat, the 6, work even if you don't even know you're there. Yeah.
Does the guy that killed in Shogun, does he alone go to Ari Miklat?
We're not finished yet. We'll soon see. His Rebbe goes with him.
Isn't this added to the mitzvah?
No, the Torah says it.
Oh, the Torah says that about the Levi. Oh, I don't know.
I said we learn that from a pasuk. We learn that from a pasuk. That's what the Chum added. We'll see. Let's see the Gemara inside. Now, then the Mishnah says, "Umuchavan Islam Drachim," in the middle of the Mishnah. And they prepared, we said the cities were proper. You know, the roads were maintained and they were equal. And when a guy was, huh?
No,
that's oh. And the guy that was running away, you know, to save his life, they gave him 2 scholars to accompany him. Why did they give him 2 scholars with him? Because lest the avenger, meaning the family, wants to kill him, so the Talmidei Chachamim will tell him, come on, don't do it, he killed him accidentally, it's not his fault, don't kill him, don't shed more blood. So they would...
It's a mitzvah to kill him.
Huh?
It's a mitzvah to kill him, no?
It's a mitzvah on him to kill him, but not that the guy should be killed. Oh. And he says... The mayor says, he can even speak for himself. Because it says, V'zed Dvar HaRitzeach, literally the Torah means these are the laws of the Ritzeach. But actually the Gemara says it means, V'zed Dvar HaRitzeach, that the Ritzeach, the murderer, can speak for himself. That's what the Meir says.
Where does it come to Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi?
It says that in case the guy wants to kill him, the Talmidei Chacham would tell him, you know, don't do it.
But where did it come from?
Bezdin gave the guy who was running away.
But, oh, so he... Before he runs away, he has to go to Bezdin?
The Bezdin knows he's running. They would send him with 2 Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Yisib, Rabbi Yehuda, continues in the mission, says, B'tchila, meaning all the way at the beginning, whenever a killing took place, Echad Sheigeg, Ve'echad Meizid, Magdim Alari Miklat. In other words, the first thing is as follows. You kill somebody, Sheigeg, Meizid, accidental, you run to Ari Miklat. That's the first thing you do. Then Bezdin Shochanum Avin Aisim Isham. Then Bezdin would send Shluchim to bring the murderer back. Mishin is Chayim Misa Be Bezdin. If the guy was found to be bemazed, that he intentionally killed somebody, Hadnahadogu, Bezdin would kill him. Vashalain is Chayim Misa. And if he wasn't obligated at all, meaning completely innocent, Patru, Bezdin said, go home. He's not allowed to even touch you. Mishin is Chayiv Golus, but a guy that was Chayiv Golus, Machzir and Eisenim came, and then they brought him back into his Ari Miklat. So the Mishnah says, the way it worked initially was, whenever anybody killed somebody, the first thing he did was, he went to Ari Miklat. That was the first thing he did. Then the Gemara says, Bez Dim would send Shluchim and bring them back under protective custody, like it's called. Then Bez Dim would judge the person. It could be one of three possibilities. Either he gets killed, or he's completely free, like a freakish thing we learned, he's free completely, or he goes to Arim Mikot.
But you said if they find him guilty, I mean that he did it amazing,
right?
They do kill him.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's say, I mean, that's assuming there were witnesses.
Yeah. Of course.
Okay, but if he did it by accident.
It depends what type of accident. Remember, we learned before, if you're going up a ladder and killed somebody, mm-hmm. you don't go to Ari Miklat.
Right.
Because that's freakish. Uh-huh. If you're coming down. Yeah. It's accidental, but it's more liable than going up. So for instance, Bezin knows if the guy killed him cold-blooded murder, Bezin would kill him. If the guy, unless he was going up a ladder, a freakish weird thing that absolutely didn't make sense,
Right. Then
it would be completely free.
But even if he did kill by accident, do they need any witnesses to acquit, to find him guilty? To go to Ari Miklat, or to reset?
No, if there's people know, even though there are no kosher witnesses, let's say. Uh-huh. People know. If it was hit and run and nobody saw it,
Yeah. How's
anybody going to know he did it? Obviously, right. He did it. Either people testify it was accidental, uh-huh. or all the people were in kosher witnesses. Uh-huh. All relatives or women or whatever.
Now wait, this only applied on Tama Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah.
So, but the time, that 7 years, they didn't have Beit HaMikdash, they didn't have Ari Miklat.
No. Probably not. Now, it says as follows. Tan Rabbanan, Rabbanan learnt in the Gemara. Shali Sharim Hivdol, Meshe Be'ever HaYardi. Says in the Pasuk, Meshe Rabbeinu separated three cities in Ever HaYardi. Ukeneged on Hivdol Yeshua Be'eretz Kanan. And corresponding with that, Yeshua made three cities in Eretz Yisrael. And it says interesting, if here's Eretz Yisrael and here's Eiver HaYarden, okay, it says the city in Eretz Yisrael was parallel to the city of here. That means if the city was here and Eiver HaYarden was also here, if it was here, it was here, here. It has, they made a parallel, equal lines from one city to the next. That's what the Gemara says. In other words, not only was it equal this way, but they also were parallel to the same level as they were in Eved HaYarden. And the Gemara says, now, what are the names of the cities as follows? Chevron B'Yehuda, Chevron was one of the Ari Miklat, was corresponding with Betzer in the Midbar, the Moshe Rabbeinu made. Shechem, Bahar Ephraim, was corresponding with Ramiz Bagilo, that Moshe Rabbeinu said. And Kodesh, Bahar Naphtali, was connected Golan Babosh. Okay? So the Gemara is just saying, the three cities that Moshe Rabbeinu made was Chevron, Shechem, and Kodesh. I'm sorry, not the Moshe, those in Yeshua made. And Moshe Rabbeinu made Betzer, Ramiz Bagilo, and Golan Babosh. Vishilashta, what does the pasuk mean? Vishilashta, shia mishaloshim, that they should be equally divided, meaning a third away from each other. Meaning that from the south of Chevron was the same distance from Chevron to Shechem, and from Chevron to Shechem should be the same distance from Shechem to Kodesh. That means again, they divided exactly Eretz Yisrael by three, and each city was a third of the way down. Umishchem the Kodesh was like Mikadesh the Tzofen. Okay, that's basically, as the Rishonim write, they divided Eretz Yisrael into four parts. So there are three lines. You know, if you have four divisions, it's three lines. So the three lines were the Ari Miklat one. So the Gemara asks, like we said before, the question. Eved HaYarden had 2.5 tribes. Yet, they had 3 Ari Miklat. Eretz Yisrael had 9.5 tribes, and they also had only 3 Ari Miklat. So the Gemara asks, Be'eva Yarding Tlas, Be'eretz Yisrael Tlas. 3 in Eva Yarding for 2.5 tribes, and 3 in Eretz Yisrael for 9.5. It's not balanced. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Be'gilod, Shchicha Reitzchim. In the city of Gilad, in Eved HaYarden, there were a lot of murderers. So they needed more Ari Miklat.
It's not murderers, accidental.
Yeah.
Is that why they had more accidents?
They had. The Gemara just proves it from a pasuk, because it says Gilad in top of the page. Kiryas Perli Oven Akuva Midam. Gilad is the city of evil doors. Kiryat, the city of Perli Oven, the sinners. Akuva Midam. It's full of those with blood. So Gemara says, "My Akuva Midam." What does it mean, Dam? So it says, "Amar Abelazar Sheyeik Fin Ladig Nefoshes." They would wait in ambush to kill people. So the obvious question is, if they're doing it b'mezid, what does this have to do with Ari Miklat? But this is what we just learned, that even people, when they killed somebody b'mezid, ran to the city of refuge. So everybody, they didn't stay there, but everybody needed the city of refuge. So Gilad, the Gemara says, Poshid had a lot of murderers.
But if somebody says, kill somebody in ambush, he's not going to go to Ari Miklat.
Oh yeah, the family will kill him if not.
So the guy who did the message,
why did he do it in the beginning then? He killed him in ambush in order, you know, he had some benefit of killing by killing him.
Bemazin, he's talking.
I understand Bemazin.
So why would he run away? It doesn't work, Aragilat, if it goes to the Aragilat.
Here. He brings out over here an interesting thing from the Ramban. He brings out the Ramban and Gemara, and the Ramban and Chumash says, although these cities were refuge only for those who killed B'Shaykig, but many intentional murderers made it look accidental. So Gemara says they made it look. Now Taisus, he says over here, Taisus answers a different answers. Taisus here answers a different answer. Taisus asks the question, because Taisus is really asking the same question: if they killed him intentionally, what does Ari Miklat help?
Maybe they were ambushing them to rob him and accidentally kill him.
No, but the Gemara says Shchicha Rotzcha means they intended to kill. But Taisus quotes really what Rashi quotes at the beginning of Mishpatim and the Pasuk V'alekimin Aliyodei. Rashi over there says like this: what does Hashem do when somebody kills somebody intentionally, b'mezid, but there are no witnesses? So the guy really should get killed, right? So how does Hashem punish him? So Hashem said V'alekimin Aliyodei. What happens is Hashem makes that this murderer ends up being underneath a ladder, and somebody falls on his head and kills him. So he got killed from Hashem because he killed somebody on purpose, right, intentionally. And this guy has to run to Ari Miklat. So Taisus says, because Gilad used to kill, the guys in Gilad killed so many people, but they did it in such a way that there were no witnesses. So Hashem made that all these murderers of Gilad ended up getting killed accidentally in Gilad. So therefore the guys falling off the ladders were a lot in Gilad. Or chopping wood, I mean, whatever the process was. So Taisus explained, see, the Ramban explains that they killed intentionally, but it made it look accidental. Taisus says, no, they taka killed people. And therefore, but there were no witnesses. And that's why this explains what Rashi says, they did it in ambush. Ambush means nobody can see. So, how about Hashem punished them? So Hashem made them get killed by those people falling on top of their heads. So, you need to punch it a lot of Ari Miklat. Yeah.
There's a goy who's a Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, and he does that, kills accidentally. Does he go to...
We learned Ger Teshuvah. We learned last week the whole Mishnah about Ger Teshuvah. Ger Teshuv goes if he kills another Ger Teshuv.
And if he kills a Jew?
No.
What happens then?
He gets killed. Yeah.
Even if it was B'Shoket?
Yeah. because he's a guy. So the Gemara asks, well, my shino, the Gemara asks another practical question. Well, my shino, my high geese, why is it from north of Kadesh to the south of Hebron? We're far from the cities of refuge. Well, my shino, mitziyus de mekarve. Yet, the people living in the middle of the country were closer. Now, people living near either border was closer to Ari Miklot than other cities. So not everybody was equally away from the Ari Miklot. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says also, Shechem nami shchicha rotzchim. Shechem also had murderers. Why? Like it says in the Pasuk, Uchachake ish gedudim, like the gangs awaiting a man, Chever koyanim derech, Yeratzu Shechema, a band of Kohenim murderers on the road of Shechem. Meaning, simply over means the Shechema, not the city of Shechem. Shechem over there literally means his will. But the Gemara learns that, the Gemara plays with the word, the letters, it's the same letters as Shechem. That means that in Shechem there were also a lot of murderers. So therefore, the Gemara says, they needed from Shechem a closer Ari Miklat, because Shechem also had a lot of murderers. So therefore, they again, it was just practical. And the Gemara says, "My chever kohanim." What does it mean, chever, band of kohanim? Meaning, the kohanim were not killers. Yet the pasuk seems to imply that the band of kohanim were the murderers. So he says, "Amir Rabbi Lazar, shall you mischabrim ladig nefar?" It doesn't mean the kohanim were the killers. It means these people would gather together to kill people. Like the Kohanim gathered to get Truma in the people's houses. Not that the Kohanim were murderers. What the Pasuk is saying is, just the Kohanim used to go together in groups to collect the Truma from all the places. So these people banded together like the Kohanim, but these guys went to murder.
If you accidentally kill someone in an Yerushalayim Miklat,
you have to go to a different neighborhood. The Gemara says later that if you kill the Mishnah, remember, that if you killed somebody in the Ari Miklat itself, so how do you go to Golos? You have to move to a different neighborhood in the same city.
Different Ari Miklat.
Huh?
Different Ari Miklat.
No, the Gemara says the same Ari Miklat, a different Shchuna.
But how big was the Ari Miklat?
Chevron, Shechem? I don't know how big are they.
Not the whole city.
The whole city is Ari Miklat.
Shechem, the whole city was Ari Miklat?
Yeah. Chevron, the whole city is Ari Miklat. Kadesh, whatever it was.
But the regular people used to be,
the whole city was... No, Ari Miklat doesn't mean only murderers lived there. It was a full city.
Oh, it was a full city.
Yeah, but anywhere in the Tchum, in the boundary of the city, was Miklat.
I thought
no, it wasn't the... only... No, oh. No. What? How many... You wouldn't have a large population.
Are the people, just out of curiosity, are the people in the city allowed to hide that person who's running away? Are they allowed to hide him in their
house?
They
didn't have to. Once they were in the city, the guy wasn't allowed to touch him. Uh-huh. And if he did, he was a murderer.
Uh-huh.
So there's no need to hide the guy.
Right.
The guy left the city, he had to be hidden. I mean... He was risking his life, that's all. Mm-hmm. But in the city, he was free.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they probably had times where, I mean, the Gol Adam was very upset. I mean, he must have been very upset.
Yeah, but you can't just go around killing somebody because you're upset.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, if he was in enough of a rage, he might have done it. I mean, you know.
So he was a murderer, then they'd kill him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yeah.
It reminds me like Israeli that they send the Palestinian terrorists to Gaza to stay there and they shouldn't come out.
Yeah.
They come out, they kill them.
They should kill them without. The Gemara asks now another question. In the Mishnah it says there were 6 Ari Miklat. So we just discussed this before. The Gemara said Vesu Leka. There's only 6? But Tanya, we says in the Pasuk, Ba'aleim, in addition to the 6 cities, Arba Mishtayim Ir, you should put 42 cities. which were the 42 cities of the Levium. So the Gemara asks, it says clearly in the Pasuk, Valem Titnu, in addition to the 48 cities, for 6 cities, you should give 42 additional cities. Okay? So the Gemara says, how do you say there's only 6? Or basically, the Gemara's question is, what's the difference between the 6 and the 42? So the Gemara says, Omer Abaye Abaye answered, Halalu Kirtas Bein Ladas Bein Shloi Ladas. The 6 Ari Miklat worked whether you knew you were in them or you didn't know you were in them. And like the Ritva says, like I mentioned before, the guy was sleeping in a wagon and he comes into Ari Miklat, he's still sleeping, he's free. But in the 42 cities, the guy can kill him until he wakes up and knows where he is. Once he's there, that's it. Later on, the Gemara and Afyud Gimel says there's another difference between the two. And one is, if they had to pay rent or not. The whole Mishnah discussing later, when the guy moved to Ari Miklat, yeah? Did he have to pay rent?
Maybe in the cities of the Levium.
So the Gemara answers, there's another difference. In the 42 cities of the Levium, mm-hmm. he had to pay rent.
Right.
In the other 6 cities, rent free.
Rent free, but they still could work and make a partner?
Yeah. Do whatever they want. Regular lifestyle. We're going to learn soon in the Gemara. If a Talmud killed somebody accidentally, the Rebbe went with him.
He had to?
Yep. They forced the Rebbe to go with them. He needs a teacher.
But the Rebbe has other...
Not if it's only his... One Rebbe per... One Talmud per Rebbe. Yeah. Private tutor. The Rebbe went with
him. And if he taught 15 other kids?
You don't take all 15 kids there.
No, but does the...
You get him another Rebbe. Teacher.
What if he's running away and the relatives catch up with him and try to kill him and instead he defends himself and he kills...
He can kill them in self-defense.
He can. Yeah. Considered self-defense.
I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't, you know, pass Kashala like that, but I have to double check in the Rambam, but I'm pretty sure that he would be allowed to self-defense.
Whether he's in Ari Miklat
or outside. Ari Miklat, they're not allowed to kill him.
But what if they do and he does that?
Then for self-defense, they're sure he could do. Okay, now the Gemara asks a different question. The Chevron and Ir Miklat. The Gemara said Chevron was one of the Ari Miklat Meshe Rabbeinu made. I mean, not Meshe, Yeshua. So the Gemara says, "Vayksiv." It says in the Pasuk, "Vayitnu lo Kalev is Chevron Kasher Diber Meshe." Kalev got it, meaning, so Kalev was from Shevet Yehuda. You're saying all the Ari Miklat were cities of the Levium. We said before. In addition to the 6 Levium, we're given 42, meaning 48 cities were Levium, but Kalev was from Shevet Yehuda, so how can you say Chevron was Ari Miklat, means it belongs to the Levium, when it belonged to Kalev, who was a Yehuda? So my answer is, Amar Abaye Parvada. They gave Kalev the surrounding area of the city, the suburban area. Meaning as follows, the city of Chevron itself belonged to the Levium, and it was an Ari Miklat. This, the Kalev got Chevron, is the suburbs of Chevron. Around Chevron. Because it says in the Pasuk, Vesedei Ha'ir, the fields of the city, and Chatzireh, the villages, that Nosna the Kalev ben Yefuna. So what do you see from the Pasuk? They didn't give Kalev the city itself. Because the fields, halachically, were around the cities, the Torah says. So what did they give Kalev? The fields and the villages, but the city of Chevron in itself was Ari Miklat that belonged to the Levium.
You could say the same thing about Shechem.
Correct. Because the Chayda Shechem belonged to Yosef. In fact, I think the Gemara Taka says the same thing. Shechem belonged to Yosef, right? In fact, the Gemara is going to ask you. Yeah, just thought. The Gemara is going to ask the question.
But was
No, the question is Shechem was from Yosef.
Right.
So how can you say it's a Levi Ari Miklat if it's a Levi city if it belonged to Yosef? The Gemara is going to talk about this soon for sure.
But was
what?
Was Shechem in the I mean, I'm sorry. Was Hebron in the area of Yehuda? Was that? It had to be, right? Because Caleb had inherited it.
Yeah, that area, but the city itself was one of the Levium cities.
Right, the city was.
Right.
But wasn't Hebron the capital of Israel in David's era?
It was a capital, that doesn't mean. And who's Yerushalayim belong to? Nobody. But Lepel, then Hebron still was one of the cities. That Ari Miklat would belong to the Levium. He made a capital because it was Ir HaAvis, but it was still belonged to the Levium.
I thought since it was belonged to Yehuda, that's why he made it.
It can be done. It can be an Ari Miklat. The surrounding area of Hebron was the Shevet Yehuda. That's why Caleb got it.
But not the city itself.
The city itself was Ari Miklat. Levium. And then the Gemara asks another question. The Kedesh Ir Miklat, how could Kedesh be a Ir Miklat? Vaksiv, it says in the Pasik, Va'ari Miftzer. The cities are fortified cities where Tzer, Hamas, Rakas, Kineres. Kedesh, Edrei, and Ein Chotzur. They were fortified strong cities. V'tanya, we learned, Arim Alolu. These cities of Ari Miklat and Esim Leitirim Ketani cannot be small ports, small cities. V'lei Kerachim Gedelim are not big cities. El Ayaris Beninis, middle-sized cities. So how could Kadesh, which was a big city, be an Ari Miklat? It's a very simple question. One place it says clearly Ari Miklat had to be middle-sized cities. Kadesh was a big fortified city. So how could Kadesh be Ari Miklat if Ari Miklat had to be a middle-sized city? Rav Yezir says, Tark to Kadesh Avoy. There are two Kadesh. There are two cities. One, like he says, Amar Avash, like Slikum and Akra the Silkum. Like Seleucia, a Slikum, and the suburban Slikum. So the Gemara says like this. The city we're talking about, which was not Ari Miklat, was Tark a very big city. This was a small city. And then the Gemara says, Gufa, we just learned before in the Gemara, that Adam, although the cities of Miklat, those cities of refuge, and Esim, Tir, and Ketani, you don't make them small forts. V'loi Kerachim Gedolim, you don't make them the big cities. El Ayaris, Beninis, only medium-sized cities. But now the Gemara is going to give the description of what Ari Miklat had to have. He says, "Ve'meshivin eisen elabim kemayim." The Ari Miklat had to be in a place where there was water. Why? It's very simple. The guy needed water. You expect him to go out of the city to get water, he'll get killed. So you had to make it in a city that's, what's it called? Self-supportive city. That the city had everything that a guy would need. Self-contained city. And the Gemara says, Im ein shamayim, if that city by nature didn't have water, mevin la'mayim, they had to bring water by irrigation. They had to dig...
Natural water, like a lake or a river?
If it didn't have its own river, they had to build canals from the city to the closest river that they can get water.
Oh, I thought it meant like a well or something.
No. If it was a well and large enough for the city, it was also.
Yeah. Well, also.
But you should know, in the olden times, most cities were built around rivers because they needed water supply.
Right.
That's why it's an interesting thing. In the text of a get, the name of the city is also, it sits on this and this river. A city that doesn't have a river, you don't write a get in. You have to go to a different city.
Yeah.
That's the halacha. Because in the text of a get, Moshe in Los Angeles, they write, the city of Los Angeles, which sits on the Los Angeles River. You need a body of water to write a get. Interesting. Because all cities of the olden times had rivers. So now that we use the same text, you know, you have to write, which is sitting on this and this river. And he says, V'meshivin eisem elabamakim shvakim. You can only establish the cities where there are marketplaces, that the guys should have food to buy. V'meshivin eisem elabamakim uchlesen. That you have to put in a place where there is a lot of people living. Why? The Rashi explains, for protection. Nismatuch l'seyam, what happens if the area, the population went down? Meisifin alayin, you bring people to the city to live. Nismatuch d'yurayin, what happens if the inhabitants of the city diminished? First was the outlying areas, now what happens if the city itself diminished? Mevi'in lehem kainim yilevi'im yisraelim. You've been kind of Malavim and Yisraim to live. Yeah.
What happens in Shalosh Regalim when he has to go up to the Beit Mikdash? Won't they kill him?
It's a good question. What did he do? I don't know. It could be sent to Shlich.
Is he allowed to live?
Even though he had a chiv to go. I don't know. I don't know what he did. I don't remember seeing anywhere. It must say somewhere what he did, because it's an obvious, you know, it's a good question. What did he do? If he had to go up to Yerushalayim, why wasn't he afraid of getting killed? And the girl Adam could be waiting for him because he knew he was going to have to come. So obviously, something was done. I don't know what. You're not allowed to sell in Ari Miklat weapons or hunting weapons. Why? Because we don't want the girl Adam to come in with weapons and kill the guy. That's what Nechemya says. But Chachamim Matirin. The Chachamim say you can sell weapons, because in the city refuge you can't kill them anyway. What are you afraid of? But Vishavin, everybody agrees, Shem Parasim B'Seichem B'Tzudeis, that you cannot put traps out in the city. Ve'mafshilin L'Techem, you can't dangle ropes. You know, they used to catch animals and people like that. Put ropes out and catch them. Everybody agrees you can't. Why? That the girl Adam should not hang around the city a lot. Because if people are going in and out with hunting material, the girl Adam can sneak in a gun. So even though he's not allowed to kill the guy, but like you said, he might be angry, he'll kill him anyway. So they did the things to protect the innocent. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, so Rabbi Yitzchok asks a very simple question. Micro, where do we see in the Pasuk all these things? That you have to make the guy's life comfortable in Ari Miklat. She said, because it says, V'nosel achas min ha'orim el v'choy, he should run to one of these cities and live, meaning he has to be able to live. You have to make it comfortable that he should live. Meaning, avid le'miya, midi, you should do things for him, to tavel ha'chayusa, they should be able to live properly. Now the Gemara says, Tana, we learned in a braise, Talmud Shagolo, a student that went into Golus.
What does it mean by a student? A little kid?
No. A person who is still learning by a teacher, killed somebody accidentally, obviously over Bar Mitzvah, because under Bar Mitzvah, there's no Ari Miklat, right?
And the guys could kill you?
No. He's a katan. He's not obligated for what he did. Even if a katan purposely kill somebody, you don't punish the katan. He's under bar bas mitzvah.
You punish the father?
Why should you punish the father?
Because the father is obligated for his sins.
Yeah, but he doesn't get killed if the son killed.
Let's say the one who's running away can't pay rent for some reason. He can't pay rent in that city. Where would he live or what would he do?
He'd have to go to work. He'd find him a job. Yep.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean all the unemployed people should kill somebody accidentally then go get a job in the Ari Miklat.
Oh, wow.
But
is the Gol Adam allowed to take his property?
No. All he's allowed to do is kill him. Oh. Can't steal from the guy.
Just
just. And only if he's not Nari Miklat yet. But the Gemara says, Talmud Shegolah Megalan Rabbi Imei. If the Talmud goes into Golus, you put the Rebbe into Golus with him. Shenama V'chai, he should live. And for here, a student, living means learning Torah. That's the life of a Jew. Avid Lamida Tavel Echiyusa. Amir Abzeira said, Mikan, from here you see, Shal Yishana Adam L'Talmud Shein Hogun. Don't teach a student who's not good. Because if he doesn't behave, and he ends up killing somebody, you're going to end up with him. In Ari Miklat. So he said, don't teach a student that's liable to go kill somebody.
So why did, I forgot what Rav was, why did he teach Reish Lakish?
Who, Rabbi Yechanan? Rabbi Yechanan taught Reish Lakish after he said he was going to do tshuva.
Oh.
When Rabbi Yechanan met Reish Lakish on the river, yeah, and Reish Lakish jumped over the river, and Rabbi Yechanan said, a guy with your strength should go learn Torah. That's when he said, I'll teach you. When Rabbi Reish Lakish said, okay, I'll do tshuva. Now the Gemara says, what happens if the Rebbe killed somebody accidentally? What do you do?
So are the students going to teach
his Rebbe with him?
No. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Harav Shegola, if a Rav goes into Golus, Megalin Yeshivasa Imei, his yeshiva goes with him.
Why?
Because he has to continue teaching them Torah. What should he do?
For a job?
He needs a job and they need to learn Torah. So the Gemara asks, Aini, it's not true. V'amir Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan said, Minayin l'divrei Torah shein kilton, how do I know Torah protects a person? Meaning, the Gemara is asking, why should a Talmud Chacham need Ari Miklat if Torah protects him? Shenema is better by Midbar. And right after the words it says, Zaysa Teda, so the Gemara learns out, Teda is Megino Matzla. Teda protects a person. So the Gemara says, why does the Rav have to run to the city of refuge? Because he needs to be protected. His Teda protects him. So the Gemara says, Leikasha. Abedin the Asikbe, Abedin the Asikbe. Teda protects you while you're learning. But the girl Adam can kill him when he stops learning.
Same with the Malach HaMavet.
Oh, this Gemara now. Ipoi Seima, Michael, and another answer is, what do you mean Torah protects you? It protects you from the Malach HaMavet. Why? The Gemara says, Kyodah Rav Chista, like the famous Rav Chista, have a Yosef Vigadis Bebeit Av. He constantly learned Torah. V'lo have a Koyachol Shlicha de Malach de Meisel de Mikrev Gabeit. And the Malach HaMavet couldn't kill him. He couldn't touch him because he was learning Torah. Okay, what happens? They'll have a shasik pum and megirsa. The same thing in Tani, he calls from Rabba, they pasik pum and megirsa. But Rav Chisra was the same story. He constantly learned Torah and Malach HaMavet couldn't kill him. So, but his time came to go. Rav Chisra had to die. So what did the Malach HaMavet do? So the Gemara says, Solik the Malach HaMavet left, the Yosef Arzad the Beirav, and he sat on top of a cedar tree. By the yeshiva, paka arza v'shosik. So what happens? The malach split the tree, and it made a commotion. Rav Chisda stopped learning for a second, and he killed him then. Paka arza v'shosik. The cedar split, and Rav Chisda stopped learning for a second. The Ochelin was able to kill him.